Scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 11, verses 21 through 25. That's John chapter 11, verses 21 through 25. And I am reading from the New American Standard Version. And it reads, "Martha then said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies.'"
Joel just preached my sermon. Great song, Joel. I appreciate it very much, the effort that you put into these songs that we sing. You know, we've all had our personal encounters with death. We've been with loved ones in the hospital or in hospice settings. We have held their hands, those who have passed from this life into eternity. We've been to funerals in elaborate church buildings, funerals in homes, or some by the gravesite. In some cases, death has brought distant families together. Some were easy because we knew where their souls would spend eternity. And others are difficult because individual had no belief in God. The truth is, we will all die. There is not going to be an exception. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 9, verse 27, reminds us that it is appointed unto man once to die and then to face judgment. We can't outsmart or outwit death. We can't overcome it with good looks, money, popularity, power, or positive thinking. It's death that happens. Grammy Award winner Patty Griffin wrote a song about the long ride home. That's the title of the song. She wrote it following the graveside service of her husband of 40 years. I was going to read the lyrics, but as I was reading down through the lyrics, I don't think I could finish it. But I will say this. The older we are, the more we're brought to the realization that death is difficult, it is certain, and it is drawing near. The Gospel of John is wrapped around seven I am sayings of Jesus. Each declaration is affirmed by seven signs or seven miracles, affirming that Jesus is the I am that I am, God in the flesh. So we set the scenario as Rusty was reading part of it. Lazarus was very sick. Martha and Mary sent someone to go find Jesus to have him come quickly. Mary was the one who anointed Jesus with ointment, and she wiped his feet with her hair. Finally, the messenger found Jesus. But if you look at the text, it seems as if Jesus wasn't really paying a lot of attention, because he stuck around for two more days. It is then that he heads to Bethany, which is in Judea, and that's the place where the Jews wanted to stone Jesus. And once Jesus and the disciples, once they got there, Mary heard that he was coming, and she rushed out to meet him. And it seems as if it is a scolding faith in verse 21 of John chapter 11. He says, Lord, if you'd have been there, my brother would not have died. Jesus told her that her brother will rise again. And Martha, she responded, she says, I know he will in the resurrection of the last day. It is here that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha, he says, do you believe this? And here it is, and Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And Martha goes and gets Mary, telling her that the Lord is asking for her. And Mary goes out to meet Jesus, but she does so in a much more reverent way. She falls at his feet. She told Jesus that if he had been here, her brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and he saw the others who were weeping, he was deeply moved. Then he asked them to take them where they had buried Lazarus. And it was there at that point, at the tomb, outside the tomb, that Jesus wept. In verse 39 of John 11, Jesus says, take away the stone. And Martha reminded Jesus that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Smell is going to be horrendous. It's here that Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Reading these words, I do not see Lazarus walking out of the tomb. The text says that Lazarus was bound, that he had a cloth over his face. You know, just like Jesus from his tomb, this stone was not moved away so that Jesus and Lazarus could get out. It was rolled away so that others could see in. Here it says Jesus called for Lazarus to come out and that Lazarus appeared. Lazarus was not resurrected from the dead. Lazarus was resuscitated from the dead. When they went into the tomb of Jesus, what did they see? His clothes. That was it. Here, Lazarus comes out of the tomb in much of, I believe, in a miraculous way that all of a sudden there he is, still bound in his burial wrappings. It's here that this crowd witnessed an amazing, miraculous sign that says, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Some of those that witnessed that left quickly. Word was spreading. Some went and told the Pharisees. But what does this declaration, I am the resurrection and the life, what does it say to us? What does this sign say to us? First, it tells us that God works on his own timetable. And that timetable is always right. It is always perfect. Jesus waits 2 days before he starts to travel to Bethany. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. 4 days. This means that Lazarus was dead before Jesus even started coming. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3 in verses 1 through 4 that everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to laugh, and a time to dance. Paul in Romans 8 verse 28, he assures us that God always has our well-being in mind, regardless of what we might think. As we look back on some of the things that have happened to us that we thought maybe was a little bit untimely, and yet as time goes on, we come to realize that the timing was actually perfect. We discover that what has happened to us was for our own good. Whether we discover God's purpose or not, because I think a lot of times we don't even realize God's purpose, we must trust that He's working in our best interests, always. Always. Second, we learn that it's okay to question God. That it's okay to misunderstand Him. And yes, sometimes it's even okay to yell at Him. I can understand why Martha was upset. Now, her faith was solid. She did, after all, believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that He was the Son of God. But she misunderstood Jesus for His not responding to her request for help right away. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wondered why, or asked yourself, what's keeping God from answering me? I know I've been there. We want to say, Lord, where have you been? If you'd have acted before, I would still have fill in the blanks. We've at times misunderstood Him, probably times where we've yelled at Him, only to find out that He was always right there, always had our best interest at heart. He is God. He created us. He understands us. It's just that His thoughts are above our thoughts and His ways are above our ways. And God can deal with our misunderstandings just as Jesus did with Martha's misunderstandings. And you look at Martha and Mary together, they come with different emotions. One seems to blame Jesus, the other seems to come in respectful reverence. But you'll notice in those verses of Scripture, in John chapter 11, not once do you see Jesus criticizing or judging Martha. Not once do you see Him scolding her or correcting her. And why is that? That is because Jesus is bigger than our misunderstandings. Don't you think for just a moment that Joseph misunderstood God when his brothers put him in the pit or sold him into slavery? Or be falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, or being cast into prison and left there because the ones he helped forgot about him? Do you not think that, no, for a moment that Moses misunderstood God when he rescued a fellow Israelite and ended up tending sheep in the Sinai wilderness? When he went from becoming a prince of Egypt to a shepherd? You think that David misunderstood God when he was being pursued by Saul in the wilderness, who wanted to kill him? What about the apostles who questioned God about Jesus' death on the cross? How about Saul on the road to Damascus, where he was heading thinking he was doing God's will? What about Saul or Paul on his second missionary journey, when God, the Holy Spirit, told him, don't go to Asia. Don't go to Bithynia. And then comes the Macedonian call, where Paul goes to Philippi and ends up in prison. Don't you think for just a moment that Paul must have wondered why? Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 that there will be times when our faith will be tested, just like gold in a refiner's fire. But even through all that testing, we must believe in Jesus anyway, even if we're suffering. We also learn that God weeps with us. On the way to that tomb where Lazarus lay, Mary's faith and Mary's tears touched Jesus. Jesus was moved by the tears of the crowd. Jesus weeps, God cries. Friends, this narrative is a powerful reminder that our losses, our pain, our suffering is not overlooked or ignored by God. Listen to these verses. David writes in the 56th Psalm in verse 8, God, record my lament. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Hebrews 4 and verse 15 affirms that we have a high priest who knows our infirmities and is touched by our infirmities. One of my favorites is Revelation 21 and verse 4. It tells us there that God feels our pain. How do I know this? And it says because that heaven is going to be a place where he removes those things. He'll wipe away all the tears from our eyes. There's going to be no more death, no more mourning, no crying, no more pain. If God doesn't realize that we're facing it today, why is he going to remove all those things from us? If God lives in us, and friends, he does through the Spirit that he gave us. And he is acutely aware of our feelings and pain and our tears. This narrative also teaches us that we will live again, for death is the door to eternal life. Death is not our final act. It's just a curtain call. Life after life is possible through Christ. In our text, Jesus himself says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus in John chapter 5 in verses 25 and 28 and 29, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Do not be astonished by this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and will come out. Do you ever recall during the crucifixion that when Jesus died on that cross of the certain things that took place? The great earthquake, the darkness, the torn curtain in the temple from the top to the bottom. And then the graves of the saints opened up and they walked on the earth. You imagine what the last day when Jesus comes, what it's going to be like. Romans 8 and verse 11, Paul writes, if the Spirit of Him, meaning God, the Spirit of God, who raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you. I need to hear these things more often. I think we all do. For I think that Jesus awakens our faith by repeatedly saying, I am, meaning I am God. He asked Martha. And you know, when you sit there and read that, think about, is he asking me to? But he said to Martha, do you believe? Friends, it's not just enough to believe in Jesus or God. We must also trust his promises in genuine, obedient faith. For instance, do we believe and trust God in Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27? Do we believe it? Do we trust in that? You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In other words, you've put on Christ. Do we believe and trust in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8? Therefore, dear brethren, stand firm. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Friends, these letters were not written to heathens. These letters were written to Christians. And we need to be reminded of these things because sometimes it seems like we're only reminded on them one day out of the week. But they should be in each and every day. Do you believe? Do you believe? When the door on this life closes for you and the other door opens, where will you be? Where will you be? That's what we need to ask ourselves today. Where will we be? You know, for those of us who have been baptized and had our sins washed away, I think for some we thought that things would get much easier, and it's still difficult. Nothing has really changed as far as what happens to us in our daily lives, except the faith that we have someone looking after us. What if you don't have that? What if that's missing? You know, repentance is a great thing. Confession is a great thing. Baptism is a tremendous thing because it allows us to start life over. That's when we call ourselves perfected. We are called to live the perfect life. Well, we probably thought, well, I can't can't do that. I can't be perfect. Because we have this misconception of what perfect is. How many Christians, since the very beginning, were perfect? Thing is that they were continually washed in the blood of Christ. That when they do sin, they can have those things forgiven through prayer because we have that avenue with God. We're not going to live the perfect life as man's definition of perfect is, but we are being perfected. And if you have not been perfected, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. You have not obeyed the gospel. We want to give you that opportunity this morning to start your life anew. Start from scratch, blemish free. And then work towards living the life that God would approve. Try. God rewards effort, not results. Effort. If God was a result-oriented God, we'd all be in trouble. But He rewards the effort. If you are a child of God and you've got to clean things up a bit, if you will, we want to give you that opportunity also. If anyone has a need, please come as together we stand and we sing.